the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the Information Radio Network, its affiliates, stations, or advertisers.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Dr. Colin Ross, who is a psychiatrist who practices in Texas. And I think he was originally from Canada, but he, of course, been working for many years with people with dissociative personalities. He's written a number of books. After reading the 18,000 pages of declassified CIA documents going into the horrible experiments that were carried out by the CIA doctors, he wrote a book called Operation Bluebird. It's been renamed the CIA Doctors and enlarged, and we carry the book. Other books on, one recent book on the military mind control, and we're really looking forward to talking to Dr. Ross again. Haven't talked to him for some time. Good evening. Thanks very much. I'm glad we got together this evening.
Likewise, sorry there was some kind of foul-up last time.
I don't know what happened, but I'm so glad we have you tonight. Well, why don't you tell our listeners who really don't know who you are, how you got involved in this and dealing with these people with these bizarre personality disorders?
Well, I'm a psychiatrist, and I was in medical school in Canada from 77 to 81. And while I was a medical student, I was assigned to do sort of a standard medical student intake history on a woman who was admitted to the psychiatry unit. And I took her history, and she had a couple of periods of missing time, one for a week and one for a whole month in the preceding couple months. And a whole bunch of money was missing from her boyfriend's account, which was a joint account with her. And so I decided to try some hypnosis to see if I could help jog the memory. And in the course of getting the memories back about what had happened, where the money had been spent, what banks had been deposited into, and then I actually talked to the banks and found out this was all verified and true. In the course of all that, I started all of a sudden chatting with the 11-year-old little girl inside her who had taken the money and spent it on the woman's children. She was separated from her husband, and her children were in another province in Canada. So I just kind of fell into it by accident. And then I thought, well, multiple personalities are really incredibly rare. I'll probably never see another case. And then I saw one more in my psychiatry training, and then just got out of my psychiatry training in 85, saw one more case, and then by this time I was the leading expert in Western Canada because I'd seen three cases.
Case after case after case. Yeah.
But then I started getting all kinds of referrals, and then I moved down to Dallas in 1991 and have a treatment program in Dallas and another one in Michigan, another one in L.A. that I consult to that specialize in people with either full multiple personality or kind of like half to three-quarters multiple personality. So I've seen many, many, many hundreds of cases.
Well, of course, but after you began getting into this, you realized that some of these had actually been intentionally produced. Would that be a fair assessment?
Well, I never really heard about this till I moved to Dallas in late 91. Within a couple months of being in Dallas, I started to hear these kind of stories from the people who were in treatment who had multiple personalities, which is officially now called dissociative identity disorder, but it's basically the same thing. And they were telling me, instead of I was sexually abused by my dad or my uncle, or physically abused by my dad or one of my parents died, instead of normal family kind of trauma, they were saying I was taken to a military base, I was taken to a special hospital, there's all kinds of lab equipment, and people in white coats were doing all these experiments on me and creating personalities on purpose. And of course, that's how I got into this, is hearing it from the patient.
And, of course, then, of course, the CIA or at least somebody affiliated with our intelligence agencies created an organization known as the False Memory Syndrome. And, of course, you have the CIA doctors actually leading this organization saying, oh, this never happened. It's all a false memory.
Right.
So you pick the story up from there.
Okay.
No, you go right ahead.
Oh, I thought we were going to go take a break. Okay.
No, you don't get a break. We talk right through all the breaks here. So.
Okay. I can do that. So we're in early 1992 now, and I start hearing more of these stories, and I think, okay, this sounds awfully fantastic. And I wasn't really into CIA or spy stuff or, you know, conspiracy theories particularly, but I decided, okay, I'm going to look into this and find out what's what here. So I started getting a couple of books, and then I ended up corresponding with the CIA, and they had released 15,000 or so pages of documents back in the mid-70s. So I went down to a reading room that they had, and I looked at some of these documents, and then I ended up just ordering all of them, which back in that day was 10 cents per page for them to photocopy it. Now you can get it on a CD-ROM. But I went through all of this, and then I decided to go to the medical school library. I started following this author and then that author and looking in this journal and that journal and cross-referencing and cross-linking. And I ended up with several big filing cabinet drawers full of papers, mostly 50s, 60s, a little bit into early 70s, where they would describe all kinds of experiments. And at the bottom it would say, funded by Office of Naval Research, Department of the Army, U.S. Air Force Office of Scientific Research. And then it would say funded by Public Health Service, or sometimes it would say funded by the Human Ecology Foundation or the Josiah Macy Jr. Foundation. And these were funding fronts, were called cutouts, that were set up by the CIA to funnel CIA money into a front organization, which then would appear to be just a normal philanthropic organization that was funding psychiatry research. So some of the people who were getting funded knew that it was CIA money, and they were cleared and had top secret clearance. And some of the people just thought it was regular grant money from a foundation. So the more I got into all of this, I found out that truth is stranger than fiction, and that, in fact, and this is absolutely based on documents, not my interpretation or any story that any patient told me, absolute documented fact, there clearly have been Manchurian candidates, which is artificial multiple personalities, created in programs going back at least to the Second World War and operational during the Second World War. And this is just part of normal intelligence operations, covert, obviously, secret operations, to be running people who got these hidden identities that are called out for whatever the purpose is, courier, infiltration, assassination type assignments.
Okay, well, you hold that thought.
Described in great detail in the documents.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Dr. Ross was just saying that after he got into practice here in the United States, he began getting these bizarre stories from his patients, basically saying that they had actually been abducted, or they'd been taken to military bases or CIA bases, and there'd been people in white coats, and they'd abused them in terrible, terrible ways. And then, of course, he heard this enough times that he actually got in touch with the CIA. He eventually was able to get this 17,000 pages of CIA declassified documents that told the whole story of how they would actually do these horrible, macabre experiments on people, creating Manchurian candidates, creating these the dissociative personalities. And actually, he has read the full 17,000 pages. We do have those 17,000 pages available for the skeptic out there on a CD-ROM. It's available through Radio Liberty. And much of this, of course, is covered in Dr. Ross's book, The CIA Doctors. This is not imaginary. This is real. You're not going to hear it talked about on 60 Minutes. I mean, they've done some horrible things to people, but always in the name of national security. And, of course, it was top secret for a long time. Eventually, the documents were declassified, but totally covered up by the controlled media. So basically then, Dr. Ross, as you got into actually treating these people, how many people do you think we have? Do we have any idea how many victims there are of these government mind control programs? Now, of course, some of this is produced by certainly family members. What about, but how many people do we have any idea were victims of government abuse? And then what about satanic abuse? Does that play a part in this?
Well, let me answer the questions one at a time here.
All right, I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask three questions at one time. You do that when you're trying to disorient people. Please go right ahead.
Nice try. Didn't work.
Well, you're a psychiatrist, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'm used to disorienting comments. So the basic bottom line is, in the public, we don't have any kind of idea exactly how many people were experimented on. We know it's a lot, though. And the reason we know that is, if you look in the actual CIA documents and some of the Senate testimony in the 70s, there's a list. This was General Counsel for the U.S. Army at a Senate hearing, submitted a document listing around 125 or 130 different drugs that have been tested by the Army, which is only one of the branches of the military. And he said that the LSD experiments, which is one of the 125 or 30 different drugs, there was at least 1,500 people tested by the Army, which obviously is only the tip of the iceberg. But if you figure minimum there was 1,500 people got LSD just by the Army, and the Army had 125 to 130 drugs, and then the office was funding, the office, U.S. Air Force Office of Scientific Research was funding all kinds of hallucinogen and drug studies, so was the Office of Naval Research, then the CIA, and then whoever else that we don't even know about. So just drug hallucinogen studies by themselves are adding up to tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people minimum. So this would be people who maybe participated in one LSD experiment. Now, how many people were in longer-term mind control experimentation where they actually were being worked on for months and were coming out as Manchurian candidates? We have, in public record, we have absolutely no idea what the numbers are. But it, I mean, these are programs, so it can't be one or two people. It's got to be some kind of tens or hundreds.
Well, now, would some of those people have permanent effects from the use of LSD?
Yeah, there's people who testified in the 70s describing very long-term complications, feeling unreal, besides normal kind of LSD flashbacks, feeling unreal, periods of missing time, a lot of anxiety, a lot of terror, feeling like they're losing their mind. And LSD was, of course, it's the best-known drug, but it's not really the worst of the drugs that was tested. Other drugs would cause 3 or 4 days of a hallucinogenic trip with massive amnesia, and some of the experiments included people going psychotic for long periods of time, and then some of them, this is in the documents and in the publications in the medical journals, people dying. I mean, it's an absolute fact that these kind of experiments resulted in people dying and having long-term psychiatric problems.
Well, now, of course, were these people who even knew that they were being experimented on, were these done with informed consent, or do the government officials even worry about letting the people know that they're being used as human guinea pigs?
Well, my whole complaint about all of this is basically a medical ethics problem, and we've got a conflict between the Hippocratic Oath and the National Security Oath. So in the name of national security, I mean, we go bomb countries, we start wars, we kill people, and our soldiers get killed and injured. So obviously, you know, you can't have no wars going on, it's just not the way the human race operates. And so I'm not against the National Security Oath, I'm not against the military, I'm not against having intelligence. Obviously, we need all of that in a hostile world. But the problem is, when you have doctors involved who are doing things that violate basic human decency, basic medical ethics, there's no informed consent, there's no real follow-up, there's no independent counsel. It's not for medical reasons, it's for military and intelligence reasons. Now you got a big problem because people are violating the Hippocratic Oath, justifying it in terms of the National Security Oath, but it's still unethical, it's harmful, it's malpractice.
And, of course, they wanted to do everything they could to cover this up, certainly during the early 1990s. There were a lot of these people coming forward and talking about these terrible things that had happened, and so suddenly we find this false memory syndrome organization cropping up with branches all across America. But it's got some very interesting leaders, people like Dr. Gottlieb, who was one of the chief CIA doctors, and Dr. Jocelyn West, another CIA doctor, leading this whole movement to convince people, oh, it's all false memory. Did you run into that?
Well, yeah, it's important to get kind of the timeline on this. So up until about 1980, actually when I diagnosed my first case in 1979 as a medical student, there was about 200 cases of multiple personality in the whole medical literature, and everybody thought it was incredibly rare. And then for a variety of reasons, people started tuning into it, studying it, researching it, and lo and behold, it's not all that uncommon. I'm just talking in a regular, general, domestic setting where kids are abused and neglected and there's a lot of family violence. They often split off a part of their mind to store some of the feelings or some of the memories and develop multiple personality disorder. So the first step was a whole lot of interest and study, a new organization, a new journal, books being published, issues of professional journals. So there's a whole mushrooming of interest in multiple personality. Many, many, many more cases being diagnosed. And that takes us up into the mid to late 80s. And then in the mid to late 80s, the people who are in treatment for multiple personality started telling, not all of them, but a bunch of them, started telling stories about being in satanic cults that their parents belonged to and being very systematically abused in these satanic cults. And then there was a reaction to that. But at the same time, we started to hear just a little trickle in the late 80s into the early 90s of, well, it wasn't just a satanic cult. Also, I got recruited into military CIA mind control programs. And that takes us now into the early 90s. We start hearing a little bit more of these kind of cases, a little bit more. And in 1992, the False Memory Syndrome Foundation was formed. In April 1992, and their agenda was basically to convince everybody this is all false memories, and all these cases of multiple personality were just bogus and cooked up in therapy. And on the board of the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, at this time there was Jolly West and Martin Orne, who were two MKUltra contractors, cleared at top secret, whose MKUltra projects I have copies of, involved hypnosis, creating dissociative states, creating amnesia, implanting false memories, and studying multiple personality disorder. This is in the documents that are available, let alone all the stuff that's still classified. So it's an absolute objective fact that key board members on the False Memory Syndrome Foundation that were debunking the multiple personality, debunking all these memories, were themselves assets of the CIA involved in the Manchurian Candidate programs. So this looks like a disinformation program to me.
I really felt it was. Was Sidney Gottlieb involved with that in any way, Dr. Gottlieb?
He wasn't on the board. I don't know if he was had background involvement or not.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, of course, Sidney, you're on the front lines of this, and these stories keep coming up in satanic cults. And of course, I've actually known several people who came from satanic families, who are victims of satanic ritual abuse, and we've talked to them. Fortunately, they're out of this. They're rational people, although they still have the psychological scars from this. This is not that uncommon, ladies and gentlemen, because there are satanic cults in America, and everything is being done to make you think it's all make-believe or only something you see on television. But that isn't true, unfortunately. There is a supernatural realm, and there are people who are tapped into that, and they're vicious and, in my estimation, very wicked people. Well, the thing is, can you help these people by counseling and by psychiatric care?
Not all the time, but definitely quite a bit of the time. And that's there's two kind of pathways here. One is the trying to investigate what's going on in reality, find out what's the documentation, and talk about the whole public ethics of it. The other side of it is how to do treatment. And this book that I've just published recently, which is a fairly small book, it's a single case history. It's called military mind control.
Right.
And it's a person who I work with in private practice who's done extremely well, really remarkable recovery, which she agrees is the case, her husband agrees, her sisters agree, her mother agrees, everybody agrees she's made a remarkable recovery. And she described satanic ritual abuse background and military mind control experimentation background.
Was this when she was a child, or was it?
Child up to really stopped about age 11 or so.
Hold that, we'll be right back. All right, well, let's go right ahead. And so basically, did you have to deprogram her? How would you approach somebody who had been the victim, you know, of this military mind control up until age 11?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
these people tell, but he doesn't disbelieve the stories that people tell either. He tries to approach it from a completely neutral basis until he can actually begin to find out, is there any truth to it? Some people come in with stories that most people, psychiatrists, would think were just totally crazy. You know why? Of course, they're programming ideas into my mind. They're beaming thoughts at me. And of course, it sounds delusional, but is it possible that these sort of things really have happened? He was talking about Dr. Geschichter, who had a great deal of money from the CIA to carry out these bizarre, horrible things. What was that all about?
Well, there's a whole range of different projects, but one of the amazing things was, first of all, the Geschichter Foundation funded a project, because it was a private foundation, that triggered matching funds from another sector of the federal government. So by funneling it through the Geschichter Foundation, the CIA got double the money. So that was just a clever little accounting trick to start with. But one of the projects there was, and this is in the documents described absolutely clearly, that a special wing was built at Georgetown University for terminal cancer patients, and a couple of biochemists who were CIA officers were sent in undercover to work with these terminal cancer patients to do experiments on them with different drugs without any knowledge or consent by the cancer patients. So terminal cancer patients were experimented on without consent, without their permission. In Harvard, at one of the emergency departments, there was a brain electrode team at Harvard that was doing Office of Naval Research brain electrode implants on people to figure out how you could control their behavior by sending radio signals to the electrodes that are implanted in their brains. And these experiments are described in books published by the doctors and in papers in medical journals. And so again, this is all absolutely factual information. So this guy, William Sweet, who was a neurosurgeon who was on the brain electrode implant team, in the Clinton administration study of the radiation experiments that was published in the late 90s, there's a description of this guy who came to the emergency department in a coma. His name was unknown. He never woke up. He stayed in a coma until he died in the emergency department. But in the meantime, William Sweet injected him with plutonium, which was part of the radiation and plutonium experiments. So it's just absolutely like off the charts unethical behavior that you would inject somebody with plutonium just to see how their body handles it. When they're in a coma, when you don't even know the person's name, they obviously can't give consent, no outside counsel, no oversight. And this is just the way these people operated. And this would include LSD experiments, sensory deprivation experiments, hypnosis experiments. There was a group of children, mentally retarded children, at the Fernald School in New England. Their parents were told that the children were participating in a dietary study and that some sort of vitamins were being put in their cereal. It was actually plutonium.
And that was covering a book called The Plutonium Files, but they can't let the American people know about these macabre things. Why, somebody would be held responsible. Why, that's almost as bad as a Tuskegee study designed to kill blacks, but we wouldn't do that. Or would other evil people, frankly evil people in our government, who would, and doctors should go right along with it. That's what's so frightening to me.
Absolutely.
Well, basically, are some of these people that you come to you with multiple personalities delusional? I mean, would they perhaps be confused with schizophrenia?
Yeah, that's a common problem. And a lot of people in the culture in general, people in NAMI, the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill, and psychiatrists think that it's completely clear what the difference is between schizophrenia and multiple personality, and that they're completely separate things. But actually, in fact, there's lots of research evidence that clinicians in general, psychiatrists in general, really can't reliably tell the difference. And people with multiple personality disorder often are in the mental health system for long periods of time with diagnoses of schizophrenia, schizoaffective disorder, bipolar disorder, and so on. They don't do very well. And then when you figure out that they actually have a dissociative disorder and you get them into trauma-based recovery and therapy, many of them do spectacularly well.
And this is the really the exciting thing, that there is hope for a lot of these people. If you have somebody who recognizes these entities exist, they're not imaginary, they're really very real, and they've destroyed the lives of so many people, and the tragedy is some of them are CIA, some of them are satanic ritual abuse, other familial abuse, and you're not hearing about this. That's why this is such an important program. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Dr. Colton Ross, and we're talking about the people who are really misdiagnosed as schizophrenic because, of course, they're delusional, and yet they are actually cases of dissociative personalities. Is there any way to be absolutely certain whether this is schizophrenia or a dissociative personality? How would you approach that as a clinician?
Well, it would be a long, long answer to that, but I'll try and give you a shorter answer. First of all, there is confusion, and it is tricky to tell, and it's often not clear. But oftentimes it's relatively clear. So the people with, it's thought that if you hear voices, you have auditory hallucinations. The voices are either inside your head or outside your head. That's highly typical of schizophrenia. But actually, in fact, voices are more typical of multiple personality disorder, dissociative identity disorder. So hearing voices by itself doesn't automatically lead to schizophrenia diagnosis. So that's the first thing to be aware of, is not to go, voices, automatically schizophrenia. But if somebody hears voices on a chronic basis, if they have schizophrenia, they won't have some other symptoms. And the other core symptoms that people report are these periods of missing time. So it's not just, I can't remember what happened when I was 7. It'll be last week, it was 10 in the morning on Tuesday, and next thing I knew, it was 4 in the afternoon on Thursday. Completely blanked out, no drugs or alcohol involved. And then they'll describe people coming up to them and telling them about things that they've done that they don't remember. They'll find objects in their environment, they don't know how they got there, which is not just, I found a pen. You're like, you open your closet and there's 3 new sets of clothing. There's the receipts signed. It's your credit card. The signature looks similar to yours, but not exactly the same. Completely different style from what you would ordinarily buy, and no memory whatsoever of purchasing it 3 days earlier. Or huge, big objects go missing, like all of a sudden your favorite painting is gone, or your journal is gone, and then 3 days later you find it stuffed down one of the pillows on the couch with a bunch of angry writing in it. Obviously done by your hand, but you don't remember doing it. So these kind of amnesia symptoms, but people with schizophrenia just don't report those clear-cut kind of amnesia episodes. So then, you know, there's a sort of decision tree of a set of other questions about different types of symptoms that you ask to try to start sorting it out.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Colin Ross. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Dr. Ross. And before I go on, would you like to get out any information? Do you have a website? So certainly we carry your book on the CIA doctors, but we're not yet carrying the other two. Probably we should. But would you like to tell people how they can get in touch with you if they'd like to, or at least get your information, and, of course, how they could get your other two books that you have?
Well, in terms of getting my books, you can either go to Amazon.com and just search under Colin A. Ross, M.D. There's a couple other Colin Rosses who've written on some other topics, but you'll find my books are basically all on Amazon. Or you can go to my webpage, and you can just search under Colin A. Ross, M.D., or the webpage address is www.rossinst.com, which is short for the Ross Institute. And there's a button on the webpage that you can find all my books there, and you can order them either from me or from Amazon are the two easiest ways to do it.
All right, fine. And so, you know, this is a subject which is difficult for people to accept if they've never heard it before. It sounds crazy. I suppose maybe when I was a medical student, I would have thought it was crazy, too, in hearing the people tell me all
so
that.
So would I. Definitely.
The cars driving by, beaming ideas, beaming beams into my home. But when you begin to understand that there really are people who have a different agenda out there who have really enjoyed destroying people's lives, or maybe they don't enjoy it. Maybe it's all in the name of science or trying to defeat the wicked communists. That's why we do all of these experiments on mind control. And what about Manchurian candidates? Can they really produce a Manchurian candidate who will kill on order?
Well, see, that's kind of, to me, a red herring. In academia and universities, we're always getting into side debates that are interesting to talk about in the ivory tower, but not really too directly connected to reality. One of the side debates here is always using hypnosis or whatever. Can you make somebody kill another person when they ordinarily wouldn't do that? Well, wait a minute. What do you think happens in basic training? You take ordinary people off the street, you train them, and they go out in the world and kill people. So getting somebody in the military to go out and kill somebody is not the least bit amazing or remarkable. That's what the military's for. It happens all the time. So really the purpose of it is not to get somebody to go and kill another person. Any soldier or covert operative who's assigned that mission will go and do it without any mind control at all. Really, the purpose of them, or break into a place and steal documents or penetrate a certain organization, you don't need mind control to accomplish that task. Really, the purpose, as far as I can figure it out, the purpose of the mind control and having the Manchurian candidate is not to get them to do stuff. It's so if they're caught and interrogated, they can resist the interrogation because the information is hidden inside and the person out front who's being interrogated genuinely doesn't even know the information. And you can't get at it easily if you're the interrogator. And in the CIA documents, it describes in detail the CIA's concern about how to detect Manchurian candidates being run against them by foreign intelligence agencies. So it's a very complicated mind game.
And I think these are the things that the average citizen sitting in the quiet of their home finds so difficult to believe, that this sort of thing would really be going on, you know, behind the scenes. Well, actually, you know, are other psychiatrists coming to recognize this disorder? Are there some of them who are actually treating this sort of thing?
Yeah, the number of cases being treated and the number of people treating cases of multiple personality is way more than it was 25, 30 years ago. But the number of psychiatrists who are the least bit knowledgeable about this long-sorted history of psychiatry's involvement in mind control experiments, most psychiatrists don't know about it, haven't looked into it, disbelieve it, don't feel responsible for it, look the other way. I just think that's not an ethical way for a psychiatrist to proceed. I think that we as physicians, we as the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, have an ethical obligation to look into this, have public policy about it, have ethical guidelines about it, and not pretend it never happened.
Well, I know we had a psychiatrist here in Santa Cruz. His first name was Ralph. I don't know, remember his last name, but he went down to Atascadero. He was there for a number of years in Southern California or Central California. And he was the first one who ever introduced me to this concept. But he certainly wasn't very popular among the other psychiatrists or physicians. They all thought he was a quack or a nut because he really did believe in the multiple personality disorders. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, at 464-8295. If you have a question for Dr. Colin Ross, who's on the front lines of this battle, and of course, he has the advantage of having read the 17,000 pages of declassified CIA documents, which must have been rather expensive to get hold of. Fortunately, we do have them available. For our listeners, on a CD-ROM, all 17,000 pages, if they want to get them, understand pretend this is not, you know, make-believe. This is the real world that exists out there. Unfortunately, I'm not sure whether we live in the unreal world or whether the average individual lives in the unreal world. I really think that's really the case. Most people have no grasp at all of the things that go on behind the scenes, and the horrible victims of some of these mind control experiments, some of them done up in Canada, in fact, by one of your leading psychiatrists up there. I've forgotten his name now, but of course he did some terrible experiments, and eventually, of course, the Canadian government had to make settlements with those cases. I'm sure you're aware of the what I'm speaking of, aren't you?
Yeah, that's Ewan Cameron.
Ewan Cameron,
McGill,
right?
University in Montreal, but he's actually, he's the best known, but he's only one of a network of military contractors in Canada, which Canada being a smaller country is a small network compared to large group of psychiatrists, leading all the leading medical schools, presidents of the American Psychiatric Association, editors of the leading journal. This was not just a few guys in a basement somewhere. This was systemic in psychiatry, the major universities, the major medical schools, people with top secret clearance level, well-funded throughout the 50s, 60s, into the 70s. And all of that is completely documented and for real.
And, of course, Ewan Cameron, the story, in fact, anybody can go up on the internet and look up the story of what he did to some of his unknowing patients who went to him, you know, for treatment, for help, and, of course, he destroyed their minds intentionally and maliciously. But we've got right now Mark calling us from Florence, Oregon. Let's go to Mark. And Mark, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, good evening, Dr. Stan and Dr. Ross. Thank you both for your exposure of evil here, of the dark side of our government. And I really want to ask you, Dr. Ross, if you've heard of the expression or the phrase, the dark awakening.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's actually a phrase that's used by Russ Dizdar, who works from a pastoral point of view towards people with dissociative personalities, people who are victims of a satanic ritual abuse, who actually talk about the fact that many of them have actually been programmed so that at some time when the word is given, they will, of course, begin trying to create chaos in our country. He's coming out with a book, I think, called The Black Awakening. But that is really not exactly what we're talking about, Mark, but sort of along the same line, because they're also victims of these multiple personalities. Anything else you want to say before we let you go?
Well, Dr. Stan, just simply, I would imagine now that Dr. Ross has heard this phrase and its possible application to our future here in some very significant way, that he may investigate this from Russ Dizdar's perspective.
Well, we'll send him a copy of the book when the book's out in a few weeks, okay?
Thank you all very much.
God bless. Okay, thanks very much. And let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Oklahoma. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Great day, Joe.
Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes. How did you mentioned earlier the woman who had been in some kind of satanic ritual abuse. How did her parents not know that she had done that if you said it was from a child up to the age of 10?
Well, no, I'm just reporting to you what people report to me. I don't have proof that it's real. I don't have proof that it's not real. But most of the time, the parents are involved in the cult. Yeah. It's not without the parents' knowledge.
And that's exactly right, Paul. I mean, the cases that I know of personally, why the parents have been multi-generational satanic members of satanic cults. And so they were the ones, of course, who either supervised or allowed this to take place. So this is not a surprise to the parents at all. And this is part
generally
of their introduction.
Of all forms of abuse, that really most children who are sexually abused are not abused by random strangers. They're abused by their own family members.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay, anything else, Paul?
I just wanted to, have you ever heard of John DeCamp and the Franklin cover-up and Paul Benacki and that?
Yeah, I've read that book, yeah.
No, that's, I think, going right along, because that's an entirely different subject that was done, in most cases, unwillingly as far as the children were concerned. But thanks so very much. And right now, of course, our guest this evening, Dr. Colin Ross, and we're talking about his His book on the, well, we're talking military mind control. Whatever happened to that woman you mentioned? Did you actually have to deprogram her or bring out all of these?
I don't call what I do deprogramming, and there's a couple of reasons for that. One is nobody really knows exactly what deprogramming is. There's no mainstream literature on it. Nobody's really ever been trained how to do it. And so, number one, there's not any expertise. There's not any real base for it. But the most important thing is people that, now, not all deprogrammers are automatically horrible people, but I've seen a lot of cases where somebody who claims to be a deprogrammer doing deprogramming actually just makes the situation worse. And they set up this huge drama where they're doing all these strange, bizarre interventions under the heading of deprogramming. And the person just becomes this kind of, first of all, they were of the programmer back in childhood, and now they're sort of a passive victim of the deprogrammer, and it just puts them in this position of kind of helpless dependency. And instead of the person actually getting deprogrammed and getting better, they just seem to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the whole story. I've seen many people who get a lot worse instead of a lot better from this so-called deprogramming approach. So most of what I do is not really that different from a lot of standard general therapy. And then the part that's a little bit special is basically same techniques, same strategies as I would use for somebody who has multiple personality, just coming out of family incest, physical abuse, and violence. So I don't really have different strategies, different techniques when somebody tells me they were in a satanic cult or in CIA military mind control programming. So it's kind of the more mainstream and standard you can make it, the better, I think.
And so basically, of course, they all are having the same things, whether they were abused by the CIA, whether they were abused by the military, whether they were abused by the satanic cults. They're all about present pretty much the same picture.
The content is different, but kind of the structure and the logic of it and what the steps in recovery are basically the same. And if you've been, say your dad was in the military and he was a pedophile and the military had something on him and they did some kind of deal with him to hand the daughter over to one of these programs. So you've got all the abuse by the people in the fancy program. But really the deepest trauma is the betrayal by your parents. So whether the betrayal is in the form of your dad directly abused you himself, or your dad sort of sold you to the military so that some other guys could abuse you, it's not what the other guys did that hurts the most. The lack of safety, love, protection by your parents, and them betraying you,
and
either by their own action or by their indirect action.
And because that's what the child really depends upon is their parents, and what a terrible thing it is not to have somebody to depend on and protect you.
Well, exactly.
Well, of course, you know, as you see these people, and there was a few years ago, there was a television production called The Pretender. It was the story of a little boy had been a...
Yeah, I saw that a few times. Yeah.
What did you think of that, you know? Because the whole story basically sounded like this military mind control or CIA mind control. We never quite found out who the institute was, but it was some sort of a government agency that was taking these children, and they could develop certain potentials in them. I mean, where they had a tremendous retentive... a memory capacity. The trauma-based mind control could focus their attention, you know, so that they would really almost have superior intellect. Do you think there's any truth to that, or is all Hollywood make-believe?
Well, we know it's Hollywood, because it is Hollywood. And so we know it's going to be a little bit over-dramatized, and it's not a documentary, we know that. But if you look at that program, if you look at Mentor and Ken Bate movies, Point of No Return that Bridget Fonda was a star in, there's quite a few things, Conspiracy Theory, the Mel Gibson movie. There's a lot of these movies that have either bits and pieces or quite a bit of the story that closely resembles reality. It's dramatized and it's Hollywoodized a bit. But it's not all fiction. Not that far off of reality. Now, in terms of creating super memory, super intelligence, you know, how successful the intelligence community has been at doing that, I'm not exactly sure.
but that they tried is a fact because it's in the documents.
In other words, they've really tried there to create this almost as superior memory through these various bizarre experiments they were doing?
Yeah, they were trying to do a whole bunch of different things. Create amnesia for things that did happen, insert false memories, learn how to break people down in interrogation, improve their memory, ruin their memory. They were trying all kinds of different things.
Well, of course, it's an amazing, amazing story. You know, when you talk to the average psychiatrist or other physician about this sort of thing, you know, certainly I'm a physician who's been on the front lines of this battle for 47 years now. It doesn't seem that long, but the years have just flown on by, so I can believe these sort of things. And, of course, we've read many of these. Of course, we've read your book. We've also read many of these government documents and the MK Ultra documents, which we try to offer here. So I know this is reality. In fact, we got mixed up with the false memory syndrome bit when we first went on the air, and this couple kept calling over and over again to convince us that there were no real memories of satanic ritual abuse. It was all a false memory. But what do you tell the average individual about this, you know, who's not, you know, has never experienced it? What sort of response do you get?
Well, there's two responses, and then kind of gray in between. One response is tending to think, oh yeah, the government's probably done a million times worse than that. And then the other response is, that's stupid, that's crazy, I don't believe that. That nobody in the right mind would even dream of something like that. And so the responses span all the way from black to white.
Well, because I would like to say, well, you're absolutely right. Nobody with the right mind would do that. But we're not necessarily working with people who are in the right mind, the people who have a different worldview. And, of course, that's why these things have actually happened. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up our program this evening with Dr. Colin Ross. Well, we have 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program. What message would you like to leave with our listeners out there across America?
Two things, I guess. One is that multiple personality disorders are very...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 877-330-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
In our four-tape set on Operation Paperclip, because many of the German scientists who carried out terrible mind-control experiments in the prison camps were brought over here under Operation Paperclip. So you will actually get the opportunity to hear Dr. Ross in another interview in Operation Paperclip, if you want to get our four-tape set on that. We do carry his book, The CIA Doctors. We carry a four-tape set on mind control. We actually carry the 17,000 pages of CIA documents. We have the MK Ultra documents, so that's Colin Ross's book. It used to be Operation Bluebird, but now it is the CIA Doctors. We actually have CD-ROM of the CIA documents, 17,000 pages. And you can get started going through this. We carry the MK Ultra Senate report, Church Committee report that went into the background of this. We have the four-tape set on mind control. We have the four-tape set on Operation Paperclip. And then you can get a CD-ROM or, of course, a tape of tonight's program. This is not imaginary. It is real. We are dealing with organized evil. And when you understand this, all of this makes sense. And, of course, some of these people basically have been opened up to demonic possession by the multiple trauma. And, of course, some of these people really are demonically possessed. And they have to approach that from that spiritual point of view as well as from the medical point of view. And until you understand, we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there really are satanic forces and organizations out there. If you haven't read the book we carry called Satanic Crimes and the four-tape set, or four-CD set that comes with that on satanic crimes, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't heard my talk on the Forbidden Secret, or the secret knowledge, but the forbidden secret of the secret knowledge. There's actually a syllabus that comes with the forbidden secret. There is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years through the secret societies and the mystery religions, and we tell you the secret. And it's the same secret that's being actually revealed on Oprah Winfrey by Rhonda Byrne in her DVD and her book. But, of course, they want you to get involved in that because you have a chance to get wealth and fame and success and anything you want. Well, we tell you not to get involved in it because it will very well cost you your eternal soul. Understand that the forces are here. We have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a book, a four-tape set on the supernatural. And then, of course, we have the book that goes with that. It's entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil by Joanna Michelson. We actually have the book, The Hostage to the Devil, and of course with that the four tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Malachi Martin wrote the book Hostage to the Devil. It has to do with the exorcism, five exorcisms documented by the Catholic Church, and the amazing story of the people who were demonically possessed. This is not imaginary. We're talking about the real world. But most people have no idea that these forces are out there. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. Go there. You can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day, and you won't get much of a accomplished. But you can, of course, also listen to our live satellite feed 9 hours a day. You can hear us on MP3, archive programs, blog. You can watch our DVDs. They're posted there. They're entirely free. Look at our video links. We have all sorts of fascinating things there. Go up and read our newsletters. But get other people to listen to our programs, tell them what's going on, pray for America. But please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who is a Jewish patriot who, of course, has lived in Israel for many years. And, of course, now, of course, he is living here in America because of threats against his life. But he's a commentator. He's been writing about the corruption within the Jewish state there, but Israel, the corruption of the leaders of the country, the murder of the Rabin, the Prime Minister Rabin, back in the 1990s. And because, of course, he exposed the corruption, and because he talked about the people responsible for the murder of the Prime Minister of Israel, why, of course, he came under tremendous attack. So he always has an interesting story, interesting commentary on what's going on in Israel, because, ladies and gentlemen, what goes on in Israel in many respects mirrors what's going on here in America. The people who run Israel are totally under the control of the Council on Foreign Relations Trilateral Commission, Bilderberger Brotherhood of Darkness organization that we talk about, and of course they are simply subject to them. Netanyahu is the new prime minister over there. Certainly is the disciple of Henry Kissinger. He'll do exactly what he's told to do. Israel is not a free country. Their government is not free, because those who play the piper call the tune, and we give them money all the time to control them. And, of course, we use Israel as a pawn in this whole game. Basically, of course, they're being attacked by missiles from Gaza coming in, being shot in by Hamas, but Hamas is smuggling those missiles to Egypt, who we are also funding. And if we were to tell Egypt, you stop those missiles going into Gaza, to be lobbed into Israel, you stop it tomorrow or we're going to cut off the $3 billion every year we give to you, why, they would stop it. The Egyptian government would stop it, but they don't. In fact, we, by not stepping in and demanding that they stop the shipping of the missiles into Gaza, we're basically funding both sides. We fund Israel on one side, we give money to Hamas, and then we allow Hamas to get the weapons. None of this makes sense, unless you understand there's another agenda. Well, Barry, it's good to have you with us tonight. And where are we going tonight?
Well, I sent out an article 4 days ago. Yeah,
right, I saw that.
Review of Guilt by Association by Jeff Gates. You got it, I hope.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Did you have a look at it?
I did, but I can't give you all the details right now. But anyway, I remember thinking it was very, very interesting.
Well, it's... We're going to talk about that at some length tonight, because this book of his is on the bookshelves, and he's got a fairly major publisher, too, Arbor Books. And
what's the title of the book?
Guilt by Association.
Guilt by Association, okay.
Now, in my odd position in life, which I didn't choose, but I've got anyways, I get a fair number of books sent to me, and only rarely do I actually review them. Most of the time, there's simply no public interest. Occasionally, I get one without public interest that interests me, and that can move me. I only send out every 2 weeks, and it's got to be good. And, well, Jeff Gates was a former counsel to the Congress, and he is a little more serious than most of the books. This book is going to sell.
All right, fine. Well, tell us about it. Well, tell us as soon as we get back. We're about to go to a break here. Our guest, of course, is Barry Shamish. We're going to be talking about a book called Guilt by Association by Jeff Gates, and Barry's interpretation of the revelation. Barry, go right ahead.
Well, you should know that Mr. Gates was very clever in sending it to me, thinking, I don't know what he thought, but after I wrote the review, he sent me a short but nice email saying it was perfect. I'm not sure how, but, you know, I had a book that was published by a big publisher in England in 1992, and my publisher, a nice lady named Stephanie, gave me the bad news when I was in Britain promoting the book. She said, we don't have the infrastructure to publish the book in America. And we offered it to publishers, and you had the big ones fighting over this book. Wiley, Macmillan, the big ones. And she said every time the contract was on the table, some representative of a Jewish organization would threaten to wreck the publisher, and he meant it, destroy him, if he published my book. And she said, I'm saddened to say, but the threats worked. So whereas my position in life could have been very different without these Jewish leaders, if this book had been published, maybe Rabin would have been murdered from within his own party, needless to say. Maybe the Jews of Gaza would still be in their homes. If I had managed to publish a book exposing the corruption, while at the same time never appeasing my belief in Israel's right to self-defense, we could have maybe stopped the corruption. Maybe. I'm not deluded enough to think that one book or one writer could do that, but if it was published in America, it could have instilled a thought amongst anyone who cares about Israel. But the Jewish leadership of America took special care with me to make sure that book was not published.
What was the book about, Barry?
It was the fall of Israel. It wasn't conspiratorial. It was just mostly financial corruption. And again, in Britain, it got the full treatment. It was reviewed throughout the media there. Major reviews in The Economist, The Telegraph, Scotland on Sunday, another dozen reviewed this book. It was a big deal there.
Okay, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry was just telling us about a book he had written that actually, of course, it had been published in England, and they tried to get it published in America, and it looked like it was going to get published, but every time the contract was about to be signed, Jewish organizations came forward and threatened to destroy the publisher if they dared to publish a book written by a Jewish person, Barry Shamish, who was just trying to expose corruption in Israel, and there was no way they were going to let that information get out. So, and the neat instance why the publisher backed down rather than take on these very, very powerful Jewish people. So pick the story up from there.
Yeah, well, they were powerful publishers, but they were cowed. Also, the publisher was not England, it was Britain. It was published by Canongate Books in Edinburgh. Minor point, but they would care. Now, the problem with Gates' book, Guilt by Association, is unlike me, it's not balanced, to say the least. It's not balanced. The real problem with Gates, is it's really a very hateful book. He assumes that all Ashkenazis, that is European Jews, are crooks. And the only good Ashkenazis despise Israel. And he says this. I'm not assuming this. He just outright says it. And his basic thesis of this book is that the Ashkenazi crime syndicate is ruining America, destroying the planet, and should be removed legally, and with them, of course, Israel.
Why would he send you a copy of this book, and why would you write a comment on it?
Well, first of all, we have a great deal in common. What we don't have in common is he knows nothing about Israel, and I spent 32 years there and speak the language and served in their army and do know something about Israel. So we have, well, he gets it all wrong, and I'll talk about that shortly.
Well, is he Jewish or not?
No.
All right,
no,
fine, go ahead.
No way.
All right, fine, go ahead.
And what he saw in me was a Jewish writer who was, in fact, victimized by the primary bad guys of his book, which are American Jewish leaders. And here's where I've got a problem. I agree with him. About the Jewish the unelected Jewish establishment are really a mafia controlling the Jewish people, and they don't understand and probably don't even care the power being used in the Jewish name by people who don't represent the Jewish people. They only represent them because they start organizations and they name themselves the president. It's not an organized Jewish establishment of the Jewish people going on here. It's an oligarchy. And, well, I am, of course, a victim. I gave one example. I'll give you another one shortly after I quote him. But he's absolutely right. When it comes to being victimized by the Jewish establishment, I got it, but good. Now, let's balance the book. I'll turn to Israel shortly, but while we're on the subject of Jews in America, who he claims have caused the latest recession, coming depression, whatever it is. And in fact, there are plenty of WASPs who have, well, the Rockefeller and Citibank and Chase Manhattan, and there's all kinds of non-Jews who've got their fingers in this thing.
What he has done is point to the prominent Jewish people, but totally ignore that the vast majority of the people in banking are not Jewish.
Well, it's behind the scenes that he's looking at. Now, I'll give a few examples. Now, it's a very anti-John McCain book, based on, you know, some good reasons. John McCain's father, I don't know if you can remember this far back, but he led the Government Commission of Inquiry, which exonerated Israel for sinking the USS Liberty in 1967. You know it was John McCain II who led the whitewash, right?
Right.
You remember that?
Well, I don't remember that, but I've been told that, and we have a great deal of information on the sinking of the Liberty, and certainly, of course, the guilt for that lay with both the Israeli government and the American government, and both governments were exonerated. You're right.
Well, I've been getting emails since I wrote this article that Lyndon Johnson ordered the attack, and you know what? That's not so far-fetched. People have been writing me this, saying that Israel attacked the Liberty because Johnson ordered them to attack the Liberty, hoping to start a war with Egypt and expanding the interest in the Middle East the old-fashioned American way. I don't have the facts, but I'll tell you, people sent me stuff that I've been saving and I've been looking at. That would do a lot to exonerate Israel if the order actually did come from the White House.
Of course, I don't think that Johnson made the decision. I think that Johnson carried out the decision, but Johnson was subject to other forces, and there were people who controlled Lyndon Johnson as they control all the presidents of the United States. He was just carrying out his directives, just as the Israeli leaders were carrying out their directives, and the American sailors on the Liberty, of course, they intended to kill all of them. Both Johnson and Robert McNamara, of course, were involved at the highest levels of our government. But beyond that, I think there were other forces that work in both countries. But you go right ahead.
Well, I don't know the background of this, but it's been an education hearing this point of view. It wouldn't necessarily let Israel off the hook, but it would certainly loosen the noose a bit, if that were the case. But on we go. With his son John McCain III, undoubtedly you know this, that McCain was on a commission to whitewash the thefts of an S&L owner named Charles Keating. You're aware of that, of course.
He was one of the Keating Five.
Yeah, but more interesting from this book is that McCain agreed to hire Alan Greenspan to write the report saving Keating. That you probably weren't aware of.
No, I wasn't.
Either was I. And if anyone doesn't know, of course, he led the Federal Reserve as it led America to bankruptcy. McCain was on a commission with Alan Greenspan to whitewash a crooked SNL owner named Charles Keating. So, I mean, these are facts that you have to give Gates credit for. They're important to know this. And longtime board member of AIG is Henry Kissinger.
Now, that is something I did not know, but I'm not the least bit surprised.
Well, either did I. So that's why I'm saying that's how the Gates book got me, too. Of course, these are all Jews and members of the CFR, Greenspan and Kissinger, but it gets worse. The next little vignette has to do with Larry Summers, CFR, of course. He was of the old Clinton. He was the Treasury Secretary. Bill Clinton, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, he was. In fact, he was instrumental in getting the Glass-Steagall Act repealed, which, of course, is largely responsible for the mess we're in today. But don't feel bad. He's a chief advisor to Obama. He's a member, of course, of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Group of 30. And he is one of the main advisors to President Obama today. The man who created the problem now is advising Obama as how to get out of the problem. Go ahead.
Yep, that's him, all right. According to Gates, was the Harvard University's shortest reigning president after he sent a crew of academics to Russia to legitimize the financial plundering of the country, and here's the bad part, largely by Jewish crooks, most living in Israel today. Now, these are very disturbing facts. Number one, Summers, Kissinger, Greenspan, of course, are all CFR, and they're all Jewish, and I don't like them. I mean, it's not a case where anybody next to anybody who's thought this issue out could like any of them. So we have this issue with the book where the guy really has got himself a thesis that is based in fact. There are a lot of Jewish crooks at the top of the ruling Jewish establishment in America.
But that doesn't mean that the average Jew has any knowledge of this at all. That is, of course, what's so fallacious about this, and is really so dangerous. It is feeding a lot of anti-Semitism today, which really concerns me. And there is growing anti-Semitism, and it's because of books like this that people begin to believe it's the Jews, whereas what percentage of the Jews are involved? from what, 1%, 2% at the most. So, I mean, he wants to just throw everybody out of the country or have them removed. I mean, that sounds like the Nazi solution.
He wants them in court. He's very legal. I mean, this is the legal counsel to Congress at one time.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Go ahead there.
Now, you have to start with his, we'll do Israel and go back to America.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
bank to evacuate most of his, Judea and Samaria, and actually because of the agreements that have been forced on Israel by the people in Washington, D.C., who supposedly are all of the Zionists, and of course it really isn't true, why would the Zionists be forcing Israel to give up the land that they legitimately held? So you have to understand that prejudice can actually cause you to believe that there's this master plan, and apparently John McCain is part of this, but this is actually the neoconservative plan. This has nothing to do with the Zionists. It's the neoconservative plan. If you haven't gone to the neoconservative website, it's project for the newamericancentury.org. See who's in this organization. Yes, a few of them are Jewish, but most of them are not Jewish at all. But they're part of the power establishment that really runs things behind the scenes. Go right ahead.
Well, let's take the example of a neocon Jew of the CFR, Paul Wolfowitz. Now, he quotes Wolfowitz, who was then Deputy Secretary of Defense, promising the American people that if we attack Iraq, the Iraqis would welcome U.S. troops with flowers and sweets. And he condemns, the Jews. He doesn't say neocons. He never says CFR. He doesn't even make that connection when everyone he's talking about is CFR. Nonetheless, when it comes to Wolfowitz, if you want to be balanced, I want to see him on trial, too, and I hope he is found guilty and lynched. I have no problem with that. He was the American who promised the Israelis that if they evacuated the Gaza Strip and made 10,000 of the most prosperous people in the country homeless, that would put an end to Arab terrorism. Now, Gates just doesn't see that the Wolfowitz and the neocons, that the damage they did to the American people is equally as damaging to the Israeli people. There is no difference. Israelis, who he calls fundamentalists, were just as victimized by Wolfowitz as the American army was.
You're absolutely right. In fact, I can't say anything bad enough about Wolfowitz, who betrayed the Israeli people. He betrayed the Israeli people, and yet he himself supposedly is Jewish. I believe he is part of another movement, a far more dangerous and sinister movement than most people even suspect exists in the world today. But go right ahead.
Well, what he does in the book, which I found astounding, is he describes the use of psyops, psychological operations, that the Israeli government, believe me, they use psyops.
On their own people, of course.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Go ahead.
He's condemning Israel for its widespread use of psyops, and we're supposed to assume that he means against Arabs.
Well, of course, what they're doing, of course, is really discouraging the Israeli people, almost giving them a sense of hopelessness, do anything for peace, you know, make concession after concession after concession, go along with the government's here to help you, and the truth of the matter is, the government is there to betray the Israeli people, and the average Israeli has no concept.
Well, in Israel, the psyops are worse than that. They involve murder. Without going, we've actually spoken about this, how they use psyops to change the mentality of the Israeli Defense Forces before the evacuation of Gaza, Gush Katif. It's a long, long story, but look, he's absolutely right. These psyops are dangerous. They're using the cover of democracy to undermine freedom. All of this is true, except for one thing. They're used hourly against the religious, against the settlers, against the right, against the very people, the fundamentalists of Israel. What he is describing is an accurate depiction of horrible repression against the religious.
Now hold that though. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamis. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Barry Shamis, and Barry, go right ahead.
Now, you know, the real problem is that Gates is so convinced that the Israeli government is fundamentalistic and theocratic that he hasn't got a clue, even the slightest clue, about what's really taking place in Israel. And I didn't ask him, and I should have, but I would stake anything on it that Gates has never been to Israel.
Well, you know, the thing is, Barry, that an awful lot of people in America really don't understand what's going on in Israel, but they don't understand what's going on in the United States today. That is the incredible thing. They don't understand that there is a cabal that runs our country, and the same cabal is putting pressure on the Israelis and manipulating the Israeli leaders to do what they want them to do rather than what's good for Israel. The average American, especially the people back in Washington, D.C., most of them have no idea what's taking place in Washington, D.C. But you go right ahead.
Well, they're also not writing books that are going to have some influence on on issues which don't underestimate this book. It's going to become a minor Bible of for anti-Semites. That's the real problem with it.
Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of books of that nature. But if the books have really told the truth, are not going to get published and not going to get distributed in America. That is the great tragedy. But go right ahead.
Well, I have no answer for that one. Somebody should go out and write them. It's what I do. It's not that hard. But here, I took one little paragraph out of many about what he really thinks goes on in Israel. Now, we've discussed a few of these, but he says at least 20 different laws disadvantage Arab Israeli citizens. Amongst them, an Arab cannot buy a home in settlement areas. I've discussed this with you. The Supreme Court says they can, and in fact, Arabs are overwhelming settlement areas, including all Jewish neighborhoods of Jerusalem, like French Hill. Absolute nonsense. An Arab who marries an Israeli cannot reside in Israel.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Barry Shamis. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is discussing this book by Mr. Gates, you know, and it sounds like a fascinating book. But before we go on, why, Barry, would you like to get out your telephone number so people would know how to get your DVDs, tell them how to get your book, especially this latest book? It's only been out 2 or 3 weeks now, and then how people could get in touch with you if they wanted to invite you to come to their area to talk.
All right. The book is The Compromised Land, that C-O-N promised land. The Compromised Land is at lulu.com, www.lulu.com. Write my name in the search box. Put it under books first, excuse me, and then write C-H-A-M-I-S-H. That's Shamish. It'll take you to my books. My website is BarryShamish.com. I'm going to be speaking in Atlanta on April 27th about the upcoming papal visit to Jerusalem. If you're from Atlanta and you want to meet me, my phone number is 904-315-8079. 904-315-8079. I'll tell you well, where I'll be. And if you want me to speak elsewhere, go ahead. Give me a call. Now, the other issues of what Gates thinks is happening in Israel. An Arab who marries an Israeli cannot reside in Israel. We discussed this recently. He can certainly reside in Israel. The issue is whether he can become Israeli. He can reside all he wants with his bride. Let's go on with things he thinks are going on in Israel. Arabs are even issued different colored license plates for their cars. Arab Israelis have different license. That's just nonsense. We're all stuck with the same ugly yellow license plates with the black letters. In short, not one word is right. Not a word. And the real problem is he spouts this stuff out like it's the truth, and it's just not true. And this is extremely worrisome, by the way. Look, when I write, I don't take anything uncorroborated. I try not to write non-truths. And a real problem with this book is he breaks a lot of rules in his hatred for Israel. He doesn't double check. And I just gave you three examples of so-called prejudice against Arabs. Not one of them is true. And, well, you get that with a book that has an agenda and is not interested in truth. And I'll give you an example of what he does. He quotes Ariel Sharon from 2001, where he says, "I want to tell you something very clear. Don't worry about American pressure on Israel. We, the Jewish people, control America." And again, Sharon was being a little expansive. In April of 2005, he is quoted, "The American State Department wants us out of Gaza. I have no choice in the matter." All right, choose your quote. Sharon had a big mouth and was a braggart. But when he says the Americans want us out of Gaza and he has no choice in the matter, he was telling the truth, not about Jews controlling America, about America controlling Ariel Sharon. But Gates only uses a quote that serves his purpose. He won't use quotes that can harm his thesis. And you get, as I said, a very unbalanced book when you do that. And again, everybody has their own point of view, and I have my own point of view, but I take the other side into serious consideration before I open my mouth. Now, he makes statements without analyzing if they're the truth, a partial truth, not truth at all. He makes them like the truth. And I'm reading straight from him. "As a sponsor of the 1979 Egyptian-Israeli peace process, Jimmy Carter did as much as any president to improve Israel's security." Again, what planet is he circling? "It's through Egypt that Hamas gets the rockets. The Egyptians have reneged on this treaty long ago." In any normal situation, and this is no exaggeration, Israel would have to attack Egypt for reneging on the Camp David Accords. Meanwhile, Israelis and Arabs are paying with their lives by the thousands for Carter's folly. But Gates says that he somehow was a friend of Israel who increased Israel's security. We have a constant war going on because of Carter.
And, of course, that's the Camp David Accords, right ahead, where we actually, of course, the United States is giving about $3 billion a year to Egypt so they can build up their military, so they can eventually attack Israel. That doesn't make sense, but then very little going on makes sense today. Go ahead.
Well, again, if Gates thinks that Israel has any security over Egypt, other than the Egyptians don't go to war, they hire proxies. He doesn't even read his daily newspaper if he believes that. Israel has been at war with Hamas for a good, 5 years anyways. And everyone knows the rockets and the missiles are smuggled in from Egypt. And if the Egyptian police want to put a stop to it, it would take 1 hour and there'd be no more tunnels and no more smuggling. But Gates just, you know what, he says whatever he feels like. It's never anything good about Israel. He barely mentions the Arabs. He doesn't even know them. His real problem is with the Jewish Americans. And he makes this connection back to Israel without knowing a thing about Israel. And it's very irritating. Where he is strong, he actually wrote that Israel, and he wrote a whole chapter on this, that Israel staged this preemptive land grab in the Six-Day War. Now, he wrote a whole chapter, and you want to talk about flimsy evidence. This chapter should be taken out of the book. It's the worst, most unconvincing chapter of this patently ridiculous assertion that Israel started the Six-Day War as a land grab. I'm not going to refute it here either. It's just a waste of time. Let's just say that his boundaries, he has no control of boundaries. Israel did not start the 67 war. That is putting it mildly. Nonetheless, the part that I agree with, but for the wrong reasons again, and he writes a much stronger chapter that he calls them Israeli assets. They are not Israeli assets. They are the likes of Wolfowitz and Kissinger and the whole gang of neocons. But he writes a convincing chapter that that Israeli, he calls them assets, used deceit to lure the United States into the Iraqi war. I happen to agree with that. But his reasoning is the goal was to support an expansionist, theocratic Israeli government, which is, again, it's just from another planet. Now, my research, and this has been going on for long enough to say with some security, I think it's right, was that during the first Gulf War of 91, while Saddam Hussein launched 39 Scud missiles at Israel in a month, Israel didn't retaliate. And no one ever understood why Israel didn't retaliate. And from my research, President Bush, the father, assured Israel, and Shamir was prime minister then, that the Americans would capture and execute Saddam Hussein in return for your current restraint and upcoming traumatic contraction of your land, which very shortly afterwards was called the Oslo so-called peace accord. Bush, and I know this, I can go through the meetings with Bush where the orders were being to prepare the Israeli people for serious contraction, and we can go on with this, but that's what happened. The neocons, the Jews and the crooks, and believe me, I think they're crooks, and I know they're Jews, and I know they're neocons. I agree with them on all this, but they were not doing Israel any favor. They were ordering the Israeli government to make their borders indefensible and their country vulnerable to massive attack, a situation that exists today. And for those of us who lived in Israel before this contraction took place, when there was no PLO in the country, when we wouldn't have allowed a Hamas to shoot rockets at us, you know that the change has been dramatically awful for Israel since the Gulf War and since President Bush ordered Israel to contract its land and show restraint and stop being Israel. That's the true story. His nonsense that they were trying to expand Israel, it's just not journalistically or academically ethical that he could make a claim like that. It's based on nothing. What I just said is the actual fact of the matter that exists in Israel today, and that is the contraction of the land and the PLO back in power. Whatever he's talking about didn't happen. Putting it mildly, the opposite happened. But I did become a victim of what Gates describes very, very accurately. And this is why I reviewed the book, and it was not a condemnation. It was a mixed review, stating that the Jewish establishment really is bad, and I am a victim of it. Now, he writes that since the Six-Day War, the charge of Holocaust denier has been used to discredit and intimidate anyone who seeks to identify the mafia running Israel into the ground. If you criticize Israel too roughly, whether you're Jewish or not, this charge is going to be laid on you. And the same thing happened to me. And the denier rumor spreader, well, he knew he was disseminating a complete lie against me. That liar was one Daniel Pipes of the CFR, another neocon. He's the fake intellectual of the neocons. And Gates, well, indirectly describes what he's been doing in the same words I would say it, that he is doing a tremendous disservice to Israel. What Gates writes is members, forget what members are right now, it's the neocons, he doesn't say so, acted as a self-appointed citizens lobby for the present danger, terrorism and the need for Pentagon appropriations to protect America from Islamofascism. That is Daniel Pipes. He has been running. I mean, who appointed him to do this? Well, I know the answer to that, unfortunately, and so does Gates. But Gates never says. Gates says the Jewish lobby. I say the CFR. And, well, again, Pipes, of course, is a CFR member of the neocon branch, and, you know, that's not arguable. It's not even arguable who he's working for. And I was victimized by this guy. I mean, my Lord, I'm a Holocaust denier. That's a joke. A third of my family was wiped out in the Holocaust. Nonetheless, he's right about that. And he adds that Daniel Pipes got his job because his father, Richard Pipes, who is head of the CFR Russian Bureau, emerged as the primary intellectual force in compiling assessments that the Russians were a far greater risk to national security, both militarily and economically. That was Richard Pipes, and using the same strategy, well, a Pentagon operation called the Office of Special Plans. That's who fixed the intelligence to induce the American invasion of Iraq. I have no problem with that. That's the real issue I have is not with his view of the likes of the Wolfoviches and the Pipes and the Kissingers and the bad guys and the mafia crooks and the murderers and the thieves that run the Jewish establishment. My problem is I can vouch for that part of the book. My problem is that Gates thinks the victims are just American soldiers and Arabs. He doesn't get it that the biggest losers are, well, the Jews themselves, but most importantly, the Israeli fundamentalists, the religious Jews. They're the victims of this American Jewish, well, I'll say the word mafia. I have no problem with that. They're the victims, and he does not understand what's going on in this world. He's got interesting facts, but he's too hate-filled to understand there is a different reality than the one he writes, not very convincingly.
Well, he ought to listen to our programs more often and hear your commentary and perhaps my commentary, and he might understand there are other forces out there. And if you don't recognize that, why, of course you're going to end up being an anti-Semite like he is, with an intense hatred for Israel, and yet, of course, totally unjustified. The Israelis are the victims, as you say, and especially the religious Jews who hold to the beliefs in the Torah. They're ultimately, my fear is there going to be a terrible suffering in Israel in the coming war, because I know you don't agree that there's going to be a war, but because it's totally illogical, but I fear that there will be a war in the not-too-distant future. Let's hope and pray I'm wrong. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our program with Barry Shamish. Barry, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
that there are powerful satanic organizations. This is not imaginary. These satanic organizations have been around for 5,000-6,000 years. They work through the mystery religions and the secret societies, and they are prevalent in America today. Call them Luciferian, call them what you will. They operate under a number of various directions. There are not one, but many of them out there. And they hate the Jews, and of course one reason they wanted to, I believe they wanted to get the Jews together in Israel so they could eliminate them all, because if they could destroy the Jews, they could thwart God's plan for the world. And I believe that there is going to be some terrible attack on Israel one of these days, and terrible suffering. But no matter how hard they try, they're not going to be able to thwart God's plan. Now, if you'd like to know a little bit more about what we're talking about, we have a wonderful 10 DVD set, 5 in part 1 and 5 DVDs part 2, called The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. That's The Final Countdown by Pastor Billy Crone. We've got his 10 DVD set, part 1 and part 2 on creation. His 1 DVD set, Get a Life, and then, of course, another, I think it's 10 DVD set, Please Don't Go to Hell. You can call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and certainly you can get a list of all the things we carry that Dr. Billy Crone has that we've watched and that we like. If you'd like to know about the real story of the USS Liberty, and I believe that Lyndon Johnson and Robert McNamara were involved in ordering the Israeli attack, but they were simply carrying out orders from their superiors in this world satanic movement. We've got a great 4-tape set called The USS Liberty, and then, of course, we have a DVD, a video, and a short syllabus on the subject. You can get the USS Liberty special by calling 1-800-544-8927. All of the items, you get them separate. If you want to understand the coming world leader, why you need to get our DVD, with Constance Cumby, called The Emergence. That's The Emergence. We have a 4-tape set of interviews, or 4-CD set of interviews with Constance, called The Aquarian Conspiracy. That's The Aquarian Conspiracy, named after a book by Marilyn Ferguson, where she talked about this vast New Age occult conspiracy, which she, of course, was a part of. Not imaginary, not certainly a figment of somebody's imagination. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Hear my talk on The Forbidden Secret. And then, of course, you get the other information available from Radio Liberty on Satanism and Deliverance. That's a 4-CD or 4-tape set. The 4-tape set on Satanic Crimes, and the book that goes with that, called Satanic Crimes. And understand there are covens here. You want to understand the background of the Son of Sam murders and David Berkowitz, and the part he was part of a satanic coven aligned with the Process Church of the Latter-day Judgment, a satanic organization in the United States, or at least affiliated with it, just as Charles Manson was. You're never going to hear this from the regular channels. You're never going to hear about the covens operating in the United States. Why? Because they control the people, control the media. If you want to know how complete their control is, if you get any of our other items, request a copy of the pamphlet, The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy. The Working of the Spiritual Hierarchy, it's actually published by the Lucius Trust, which came out of the Lucifer Publishing House. You'll certainly want to get a copy of the interview I did earlier today with Constance Cumby, if you didn't hear it. Excellent material. That, of course, is the interview with Constance Cumby today. And then, of course, please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty. Our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. From the mountains to the prairie.